I have two verses here, Jeremiah 13, and then we'll look at Philippians chapter 2. If you need a head start in Philippians, otherwise, you can just go with me. Jeremiah chapter 13, and let's look here in verse 16. Jeremiah 13, 16. Give glory to the Lord your God before he causes darkness, before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Right? And over in Philippians chapter 2, beginning here in verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So, Father, we just thank you for the requests that were made, prayed for. I'm sure we missed some, but you know what they are. Some we didn't even say, and you know what they are as well. And we also thank you for the reading of these two passages of Scripture. I pray that you would bless them to our spiritual understanding, and that we would, again, if nothing else, draw closer to you and to your word and to the importance of being faithful to it. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not a reactionary type person, yet sometimes things happen so fast, it's very hard to stay ahead of them. It's very hard to be preventative when things have happened before you even finish the message, and that are going on all the time. So we have two scriptures, one written about 2,600 years ago, and the other one close to 2,000, and both are contemporaneous with events and conditions today, both of them. One was written to Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. This was written to the church at Philippi. And yet, here we are, 2021, on the fourth day of August, and everything we're reading back then is relevant today. And there's one reason for that, in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4, 12. For the word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word is alive. It means what he wrote there 2,600 years ago. It's still relevant. It's not dead. It's ancient, but it's not dead. And when you read that, then you understand the Word of God judges you and measures you in the times we live in. You don't judge it and win. You judge it and fail. You judge it and create false teaching. So Paul lived, and he states it right here in Philippians 2, in a wicked and perverse age, crookedness, godlessness, deviancy, darkness were evident then and today. They all exist. They've never been eradicated. And so just as lights were needed to shine in the world then, lights are needed today to disperse the world's darkness and reveal that which is truth. And I'll just throw another word in, insanity. Sanity, not insanity, but sanity. I mean, common sense. So, I have a few points here. And the first one is that it was a disenfranchised world that Christ was born into. So we know that the world laid in darkness at the beginning of the church age. And the darkness was as dense as the blackest night. There was almost a total absence of light at all. When you talk about the blackness of black in the book of Jude, it's the total absence of light. You have to be in some pretty remote places to come up where there is no light whatsoever. So we went to the Lewis and Clark Caverns in Montana one time, and we went down inside, made our way into this big room that they called the chandelier room or something. And whoever discovered this room was above the room before he fell through. And when he fell through, they didn't find him for 24 hours. And when they found him, he was delirious. He thought he was still falling. He had no sense of ground. And he said he couldn't imagine being somewhere where you had no feeling, no nothing. And so he says, to give you an example, he says, everybody hold hands. It was a big group. And he said, I'm going to turn the light off. I said, it'll take a moment for your eyes to adjust, but then you're going to find out your eyes don't adjust. So he turned it off. And so, you know, you're looking for something. And within 60 seconds, the girl starts screaming. So he had to turn it back on as a young girl. And he said, if I left it off, you would have felt the effects within a few minutes. There's the absence, no light whatsoever. So, and when, you know, the beginning of the church age, even, you know, with the resurrection and stuff, I mean, we had some light there, but the rest of the world was really, they were in darkness. And so when we look at all that, you see that religion had failed miserably. Judaism was big, but it had failed. Paganism, heathenism, religion always has failed. Government wasn't any solution. Philosophy proved that man could not satisfy the longings of people's hearts. And again, the paganism, the heathenism was rampant. Slavery was near universal. And he had a pre-flood wickedness existing everywhere. So Paul comes along in the midst of all that in chapter 2. And he says, you know what? The saved are to be lights into this dark world, in the world and to the world. We're to be the light. We are the light, even though sometimes we don't think we are. All right, so number 2. We live in a disenfranchised and terribly confused era of church and world history. Right? How could anybody today, other than saved people grounded in the Word, not be confused? It's chaos. And so sometimes our best bets, stay away from the news, stay away from all this stuff. But admit it, we live in an entirely different world from what we grew up in. And from what we thought a generation ago, what it would be like. I never imagined it could be like this. Of course, I wasn't saved all my life. But my dad would be 106 if he was alive today. Monday was his birthday. So he would have been 106. He died at 88. He would not be able to discern what had happened to our country, to our society, to our children, to the military, to our government, or the world in general. He would have no clue as to how could this happen. But it has, and it's happening fast. Faith in our Constitution and Bill of Rights has been trashed, shattered. Class warfare is exploding. It's exploding at a level. When I talk about class warfare, I'm talking about not race, because there is only one race. It's the human race. And so, therefore, this exploitation of human beings is going crazy. And people are going after one another at record speed. It's not going to stop. We know about the wars. Matthew 24 points this out. Wars and rumors of wars are escalating all the time. So we have intemperance, legalized sin of gambling and drug use, rising daily. Figure this out. You've got the man that started Morgan & Morgan, a Democrat. He can be liberal. That's okay. And yet he goes against the corporations that are a part of our country. And I'm sure in all the cases must have done some good, but he also wants the legalization of drugs. And how do you figure this? How can you be for a sound country when you want all the people to be zombies, dysfunctional, not being able to do anything because they're on drugs all the time? You used to know when there was an accident what was involved for the most part. Sometimes it was truly an accident, but mostly it was drugs. Now you've legalized drugs. So that ups the ante on an accident happening and what's behind it. So, and all this is celebrated, by the way, when they pass the law here in the state. It's celebrated. So you're celebrating the destruction of your country, and you're making money off of that. We have an indifference to the faith once delivered, which is responsible for the cults, the sects, the false religions, the mega churches, the satanic churches and gatherings. We have suicides increasing, and if we shut down again, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have more suicides. These people cannot take being locked up. Well, they're not locked up. Well, how about shut down? That's pretty much locked up. If all of this continues, you won't be able to go from a Republican state to a Democrat state, because the Democrat state will be more locked down than the Republican state. And you'll need vaccinations and passports and cards to be able to get in, and so forth. Human and sex trafficking are looked at without any compassion at all. We do have some work being done, but for the most part, it doesn't even get reported. And child abuse in all of its ugly forms is being placated under, well, this is the law, and, you know, this is all about it, growing up. And when you understand how evil and wicked these people are, it's disgusting. We have a Soviet form of dividing people, and it's encouraged by education and government leadership. Abortion on demand and divorce are looked at with basically the same detachment. And so the only solution in a hopeless situation would be the hopelessness of existentialism. We have no hope. There is no God. Anybody hear what the national anthem of the Olympics was? A song by John Lennon. Imagine there's no God. So it's basically an atheist song. And so if you're hopeless, you might as well entertain yourself in a hopeless situation. The walls are coming in, the ceiling's coming down, the ground's coming up, and there's no doors and there's no windows. It's hard to believe that you can live like that. So every day, no less than every day, almost every hour, another new craziness, another change of policy. Science becoming science so-called, for science today is not going to be science tomorrow, because it isn't science at all. It's legalized enslavement of the masses, and doctors and medicine are being bounced back and forth like a ping pong ball with their diagnosis and recommendations. When I was in school, so this would probably date back to high school, there was a subject of study in science called meteorology. And in that day, meteorology was all about the laws of evaporation and clouds and all kinds of things like this. And you had wind direction. Radar was something that was added later on. And then later on, there came a discussion about humidity. And then after that, something strange started to happen. And it was, if the temperature was 96, you have another temperature that says feels like 104. What's scientific about that? Is that 104 to everybody? If it's 104 to everybody, that would be science. But it's not. 96 to you may be 91 to me. So it became something that wasn't science. And the moment they started predictions, you threw science out the window. You cannot predict something in advance. The only one that can do that is God. The only one. the description of Mother Nature because you couldn't say God. So I can look at radar. I was watching it this afternoon, and it looked like a big storm was coming in right here, and it was going to be soon. And if you keep watching it, all of a sudden it either encloses or evaporates, or it moves north, or it moves south, and it didn't come. But they were predicting, and they were predicting time-wise. So when you get the law of statistics, you start off at 50% with the weather. You can either have weather that's going to rain or sun, whatever you predict, or it's not. The moment you put at a certain time, you drop down to 25%. In a certain area, in a certain town, and not another, 12.5%. That's not science. That's just guess. And I think if I was a lost person, I would want to be in the field of TV meteorology because they pay you well over $100,000+ to guess without any accountability. It's tragic. It's not science. So now we have medicine and diagnosis flipping back and forth, back and forth. How can you get a prescription and know that the prescription that was prescribed will be helpful anymore when the very thing you went in for may not be what you're getting a prescription for? So nobody knows what so-called vaccines will do. That's not a statement against anything scientific. It's not a statement against government. It's not a statement against anything. No one knows. If they do, let them come out and prove it. They don't want to address that. Some things, a lot of people that have had the vaccine, they have had nothing happen to them. Others have died. Others are very sick. So what is it that the vaccines do? Well, now I've heard, and again, the craziness is just unreal. If you had the COVID and you're fully vaccinated, you can get the COVID again, which to me was, why didn't they say that all along? Because if you got the flu, when you got the flu and you got over it, you could get the flu again next year. Many people did. I didn't, but I know people that have. So anyway, that's not the point. When you get the COVID the second time, even though the vaccines are there, it turns into the flu. I never heard that before. Maybe it was the flu all along. And I mean, now I'm starting to get testy and really out of my league here. But listen, other than the striking of the weaknesses of our bodies in areas that the flu never did, and yet the flu killed 2 to 3 times more people per year than the virus, this COVID. And nobody's talking about this. Why? If we're dealing with science, and if in October, if I'm going to get a flu shot, will it be a flu shot or will it be a vaccine shot? And can I trust that they're going to tell me the truth? So when you talk about, you know, we are immersed in this era of absolute chaos. I thought that this afternoon, or actually I was finishing up at Christmas, and this morning, and walking to the truck, and saying, you know, if this continues on, we're going to see more than a picture of the mark of the beast. I mean, we're seeing it worldwide. But if it just continues and continues, where you can't buy or sell, what is the mark of the beast? You can't buy or sell. You can have a garage sale, but nobody can buy anything from you. If you don't have the mark, you can't buy anything at the store. Grocery stores are now mandating vaccines. New York's turning, you can't go in public into a restaurant or anywhere else without the vaccine. And how do they know you've got that? It's going to have to be some identification that says you have it, right? And again, I don't maintain that it is, but it certainly is obvious, and it becomes, as I told Micah the other day, all the prophecies of Scripture that have been ambiguous to us, maybe foreign to us, are just opening up like this and coming out like a waterfall. And we're seeing things we never saw before because it wasn't the right time. And now we're seeing them. We don't want to be dumb about it. and think, oh, we've been wrong all along. We're going to go into the tribulation. No, there's plenty of scriptures that say no. So we've got to be smart about this and stay in the Word and keep doing what we're doing. Can you envision us going back to what we were last March, April, was it? Sometime where you can have five people here, or maybe you can't meet here at all, and how that all worked out, and then maybe you don't get to do live stream at all either. I mean, if that happens, then we make other arrangements. We have to be ready to do that. I'm glad we live in Florida. Our daughter just lives in Illinois, and they just shut everything down. After one of those offbeat, what do they call those concerts? Alternative type concerts, what do they call them? I don't know. Anyway, there were hundreds of thousands of people all gathered together at that concert, including the mayor. And that was Saturday and Sunday, I think. And Monday, he mandated all masks and vaccinations and everything else for the common serfdom people, you know. Anyway, okay, number three. What is biblical Christianity? And the same insofar as the church is concerned, biblical Christianity, and the people as well, we have a definite function in this darkening age. Okay, verse 14. And this, you would think, what does this have to do with it? I think this has a lot to do with it. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. I want to deal with disputings first. Go back to Genesis 13. Genesis chapter 13. Of the two kinds, I don't know which one would be more prevalent. Genesis chapter 13, and let's look down here to verse 7 and verse 8. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land, and they must have been laughing at them. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. They were disputing. They weren't happy. One wanted this, one wanted the other. It's a thing that goes on all the time. So, two kinds. And here's the first one, Numbers chapter 11. I should have had to stay there. Numbers chapter 11. You may be familiar with this if you weren't saved at a young age, or then again, you may not. Numbers chapter 11. And look here, it begins in verse 1. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. When Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. Now is our soul dried away, and there is nothing at all because this manna, beside this manna before our eyes. Who are they murmuring against? The Lord. Murmuring against God. Now, there were some things when I was unsaved that I blamed God on for not acting or for acting one way or the other. So that's pretty common as well. So here's the other one, Acts chapter 6. And I guess we could incorporate this into Genesis 13, although they weren't. It's not quite the same. Genesis chapter 6, in verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So a murmuring against the brethren. So the Grecians were the Hellenistic Jews. They were the kind of more worldly, more educated. They They knew they were involved in the arts and all that kind of business. The Hebrews weren't. And so they complained. You're not taking care of people. You're not taking care of the elderly. Blah, blah, blah. No, 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 no. What? So that being said, we are to be a blameless people, a harmless people, children of God without rebuke. That means we don't murmur, we don't complain, and we don't dispute. A lot of times, have you heard? Heard what? And then out comes not just gossip, but I mean murmuring, complaining. And we can't do that. We've got to be blameless before God, and I think before man. We are in the middle of a perverse nation. You know what? It means we're surrounded on every side by them, and yet we're not to take the part or to have come to the place we're held responsible by God for this wickedness. God didn't make this wickedness. Man did. Sin did. And so we're to shine as lights in the world. All right, so then comes an issue. And this can either be just me or it can go beyond me. I look at this as the things that are happening today in our day, that they've come our way to distinguish who is light and who is pretending to be light. I'm not the judge in that, but I do know that Matthew 16, let your light so shine before men. We are the light of the world, right? We are the salt of the earth. All right, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's a command. And yet, I think this is this distinguishing who is light and shining and who is not. If you remember, the nation of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem took great pride as for not being like their exiled brethren up north, and said, we're not like them, because they were scattered throughout the world for their disobedience and idolatry. And yet they began to shy away as their brethren of the north, of the light of God's word, worse than the 10 northern tribes, to the point where they were warned that if they continued to let this happen, what would happen? They said, no, 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 we are your chosen people. We have the temple and we have the sacrifice. God would never judge us because that's who we are. And look what happened in the prediction. They have been in gross darkness since the cross. And it's not going to end until the end of tribulation. Listen, we are either the light to our home, to our parents, to our children, to our relatives, our church family, or we are a darkening sky filled with storm clouds, not for a brief shower, but until we make things right with the Lord. Because we can't be both at the same time. We're either light or we're dark. We either walk with the Lord or we walk without Him. We're either for Him or against Him. There's no neutrality here. And so when we look at this and we see, okay, the wickedness, the perversion, how it has been, how it is, the chaos, the utter collapse of the foundation of our historic documents and country, the intensity of which whoever these people are want to get rid of anything resembling our history. We are to be the light. We're to shine as light. And to do that, we have to be obedient to the world, the word. And we can't follow what's taking place as to have it affect us where we deviate from the word. So the light and the darkness, that's a choice. But the choice isn't forever. Unless, of course, the salvation was never real in the first place. You can tag along. Maybe you haven't seen this. I've seen this expressly one time where I can say this, where you make the same profession as somebody else and you tag along with the group for a while until you get to a place where you can't tag along anymore because you don't have the inner workings of the Holy Spirit. And then it begins to be revealed of what you really were doing. You just thought that we were just another organization. We were like a moose club. You know, we were just some outfit that gets together and do things. But once the Holy Spirit is in us, it's totally different when we didn't have Him. And it's, you know, you can reverse this and see it so clearly. But if you look at it from the world side, you say, "Oh, I don't believe this." But when you have it, the indwelling Holy Spirit, the eyes are opened, the ears can hear, the Scripture is unveiled to us, and we can look and see, what a fool I was to believe that I had anything in me that would be worth anything to God of my flesh. Nothing. And so everything belongs to Him. And everything comes from Him. And so we need to stick together and pray for each other, because these things are crazy out there today. It's almost like when you open the door and when you have a, what do you call a bunch of bees? What? You open the door and there's a swarm of bees out there. They're not there, but you hear them. It's chaos. But you go out equipped with the Word in your heart, and you stand fast, and the swarm will pass on. They'll go next door. They'll go up in the ice cream cone. So let's have a word of prayer, and we can be dismissed, hang out for a while until it gets dark, or we can race home. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the understanding that we have been redeemed spiritually. We have been redeemed from the world itself. The flesh is still here, but we have the power to not get in, be influenced or be a part of the world. We have to go through it, but we don't have to be a part of it. And I just pray that You'd arrange so we would be of one mind as we journey through onward to be with You. I would think that it has to be soon. I would be encouraged more and more when we see more and more things happen. And it's not that we need to see things happen. You could have come for us yesterday or last year or back in Paul's day, but You haven't. And these things are unfolding at record speed. We see them, but we can't be influenced to sell everything we have, put on white sheets and go up on the hill and think that You're going to come for us and take us right then. Then we'd be pawns for some meteorite to fly by and all die on the top of the hill. So have Your way in our lives. May we rejoice what we have in You and in Your Word. We pray for a safe rest of the night, weekend, and then bring us safely back on Sunday. Maybe even be able to bring some visitors with us. Maybe able to speak to some during the rest of this week and see them come to know Christ as Savior and delight in what opportunity You gave us. And we pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.